share from God's word now as we read the scriptures before Doug comes to expound the word to us. So it's from Matthew 28. On the screen it's 16 to 20, but there are a few verses before that that I'm reading from the newsletter. It begins at verse 5 to 10. The angel said to the woman, "Do not be afraid, for I know that you are looking for Jesus who was crucified. He is not here. He has risen just as he said. Come and see the place where he lay. Then go quickly and tell his disciples. He has risen from the dead and he is going ahead of you into Galilee. There you will see him. Now I have told you." So the woman hurried away from the tomb, afraid yet filled with joy, and ran to tell his disciples. Suddenly Jesus met them. "Greetings," he said. They came to him, clasped his feet, and worshipped him. Then Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid. Go and tell my brothers and sisters to go to Galilee. There they will see him." Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." This is the word of the Lord.
Great. Good morning, church. Yeah, this passage this morning that we're going to talk about is one that is very familiar to many people who come to church. We hear people say, "Go and make disciples, the Great Commission," like we say. But I'm going to focus on Rohith Pavilion itself. And I hope that as we talk about this, we will hear God. Because actually the theme is the Holy Spirit at work within Rohith Pavilion. What does it look like to see the Holy Spirit at work within Rohith Pavilion? I work with some awesome people. One of them is Catherine, actually. And there is something that we're thinking of doing in relation to telling the story. So I don't know if, Catherine, you mind just coming to just paint a bit of that picture of, yeah, some of the stories that I hear.
Yeah. So one of the things that we often get is, this is a community centre. Why is church and why is Christianity important to here? Why is the church so central? Why do you put signs out here and mention the church? So one of the things that we're getting in place, ready for the Bourneville Heritage Day, is a timeline of Rohith, and reminding people that, oh yes, you know, these Cadburys, they did everything because they were Quakers. Well, what does Quaker mean? You know, remind everybody that this place exists because of Christian faith. This is only here because their vision for Bourneville was through their Christian faith. So the timeline won't be a straight line of saying this is what Rohith was at the time in 1924 when Cadburys built it, and this is what it's like in 2019. It will be a U-shape, partly because of that's where we're going to put it. So up here, where it's really strong, was the Cadburys vision built out of their faith. Then it went through the decline, which a lot of you know a lot better than I do, where it was the fighting of which community, which part of sport versus whatever was going on. And actually the faith bit wasn't in existence around here. We had the church meeting here. And then when BVT took it on, through lots of work, through the church, through church volunteers, it's starting to be up here again. It's starting to serve all the community. And it's getting that story that actually our Christian faith is important to what we do here. It isn't just that we like community, we like working in this building. It's something more. And so this place is starting to thrive again. It started to thrive over the last 20-odd years because of our Christian faith, and that the church is core and central, and our Christian faith is central to the well-being of this place.
Amazing. Amazing. Thank you. Okay. So the question then is, how did the Cadbury family hear God about the setting up of the place where we are? Did they get a telephone from God saying, hey, Cadbury, do you want to put up a building and call it Rohith Pavilion? How did God speak to them about this initiative? Oh, let me bring the question home. How does God speak to us today? And are we faithful enough to respond when he speaks? Okay, I asked that question. How does God speak to you? Anybody, how does God speak to you? How does God speak to you? Through your wife. Okay, I think ditto. Yeah, okay. Anybody else, how does God speak to you?
Through the Bible.
Through the Bible. So, read the Word of God and everything just comes flying at you at 100 miles an hour. In the first lane. Amazing. Anything else? The needs of people. When you see people, you're drawn with compassion, and then you want to serve them through prayer. Now, some people say when we hear someone, I get a word. When I go to a Bible study at my home group, I feel God talking to me. When I hang out with my friends, when I read my favorite author, oh my goodness, everything just comes clear. But actually, if we're to be honest, most people hear God clearly when hard times are on their doorstep. You've lost a family member, and you're asking questions that no one in the world could answer. Your health is in turmoil. You feel so broken. The things you used to do, like football, you can't do them as easily. That's when some people actually say, and then I had God speak. I would love to hear from the Cadbury's family, what was the initiative before they started this place? Maybe they saw families not being healthy. I don't know what it was, but for us today, sometimes when stuff is not going well, when you're confused, when you're perplexed, when you're puzzled about your children not coming to church again, when gender is all around the place being torn apart, that's when actually God says, now go. The disciples, the backdrop of this go and make disciples wasn't, hey, he's resurrected, let's have a coffee. No, it was flipping heck, we betrayed him, and now he's alive, he's coming to, what can we do? They were hiding, they were running away, they were confused. This is not that they had the scriptures written and they were all clear, they were confused. The Bible says some of them actually were scared. They ran to the tomb to investigate Peter and John, and then they left. All feeling down. We see then a woman staying behind and saying, I can't take this anymore. Angels appearing and she's saying, no, I want my Savior. So we see worship, confusion, doubt. And in that context, he then says, now go. We look what's happening around here, Rohith Pavilion. We have questions. Yeah, what's the role of the church? What's the role of the bar? Why don't we get on? Why is it that they come and take our coffee? We can't even have our creche properly. We have too many questions. But in the midst of the questioning, God comes and says, now go and make disciples. He doesn't say, go and preach the gospel on the streets. No, he says, go and live life with people who may believe differently, of all nations, all backgrounds, all beliefs, and make them my disciples. So the question is, how is God speaking to us, regardless of what's going on, and are we responding? We sometimes struggle with the stereotype of who God speaks to. Yeah, Matt hears God more than me. Matt, tell me, what can I do about my business? But here God is changing the language. He's saying the stereotype of the day is that women, we are not supposed to speak out loudly. Tell your husbands, and then you can say. And then God appears to them first. So when they come to say, hey, he's appeared to me, the men wouldn't believe. They were like, no. That's why Jesus had to tell them, go and tell the men. I'll have to meet them in a place where they will hear, because they won't hear you. There was no point in Jesus telling the women and then men not believing. So he was like, you know what, tell them to go in the place where I first met them, on the Sea of Galilee, where I called them to become my disciples. Tell them to go back there. Now, remember, the context is the Passover. It's a party. Hundreds of people have come, thousands. They're all here, gathering around the Passover feast. And it's inconveniencing, actually, to leave the traditional Orthodox Jerusalem, where the temple is, where the party is happening, to go to the Gentiles. Galilee was called Galilee for the Gentiles. So that's where there's tolerance. All the non-believers were in that place. And Jesus is telling them, leave this traditional stuff. You won't hear. You're so confused. Women aren't allowed to speak in public. Now, go to a place where there's some tolerance. And there, I will tell you. It's fascinating. He's breaking stereotypes. Who is God speaking to in Rohith Pavilion? Is it Martin? Is it Rhea, who's just been in hospital? Is it John, who helps here sometimes? God is actually speaking. The work of the Spirit is at work here. A time has come where it won't be one person who stands in the front and tells what God is saying. Right now, I know that the presence of the Spirit is at work in each one of us who've had an idea of who Christ is. Bible says no one can say Jesus is Lord unless they're led by the Spirit of God. So if you can sit here and lift up your hands in worship, then the Spirit of God is present within you. And he says, go. We are all called to make disciples. But the counter to that is we struggle to get people to serve tea and coffee in there. We struggle to get people. We have a beach happening here with over hundreds of people coming, and we struggle to get volunteers because we have paid workers to do it. I don't know what Jesus is thinking about that. But God is saying we are all called to live our lives with those who don't believe, so that they'll see us and they'll be like, wow, you have something unique. That's the first point. Who is God sending? I think he's sending all of us, regardless of the stereotypes that may be in the room. Second point I want to make is, am I even qualified? I've been a Christian before, and I had lots of experience of the Father, and I was speaking in tongues one day. I was in a church that was actually believing in prayer, and we actually prayed. But now I feel quite dull in my faith. I've lost my first love. Actually, I've divorced my husband, and I think, wait a minute. I actually didn't use my money properly. I'm not in a good place. The question of who is qualified, Mark. Now, Matthew focuses on the women and how they come to the men go, okay? Mark, the next gospel, which was written by, we call them Peter's maybe scribe. It says in Mark 16 verse 7, go and tell the disciples and Peter. Peter said, why do they focus on tell the disciples and Peter? Peter just betrayed Jesus. Peter feels like, I'm not good enough. So the scriptures to say, go and tell the disciples, and Peter is making a statement. Do you feel like you've messed up? You can no longer stand on the pulpit and say, Jesus is Lord, because of what you did last night. Is it because of what you've been doing over the past 3 months of your faith? You've kind of been hit by the waves and you feel, I'm actually quite tired. I actually don't believe this stuff. I'm seeing miracles and I'm questioning. I actually don't know if I've got faith in me anymore. Jesus comes to you and says, now go. He doesn't come and say, oh, let's talk about that. He says, no. I know you're doubting. I know you're tired. I know you're weak, but you're at Rohith Pavilion now. So go. Make some disciples. Who is qualified to go? Every one of us who feels broken. In your brokenness, that's where your message of going is most powerful. Because whatever then you do is not because I'm good. Even Jesus says, no one is good except my Father. So we're going, not because we're good, because the Father has been good enough to let us come here and represent him. If someone said, you got a role as an ambassador in another country, some of you will be jubilating and throwing parties. Jesus is saying, you are now, each one of you, my ambassadors. You've seen my love, you've seen betrayal, and you've seen my forgiveness and mercy. Now go. How many times have we lied? Have we done things that we're not supposed to do? And yet God shows us the grace. And he's saying, you're not going to other people because you're perfect. It's because you know that only him is perfect. Now go. Do you feel like a traitor? He says, go. I don't read my Bible very often. Yeah, go. Because when you go, you'll be forced to read your Bible. Because you'll be encountering people who need Christ. Yeah, but then, Doug, my health. I'm just retired. Yes, now go. Every one of us. I'm just a new Christian. Yes, thank you. Go. The call to go is not for the leaders who stand in the front. It's for all of us who are the body of Christ, who share in this communion. Don't disqualify yourself. That's the enemy. The devil hates it when the church comes together to serve the Messiah. The devil hates it. That's why he keeps throwing things in your ears. I've not been a good husband. I've not been a good wife. I can't even make time to pray. No. God is saying, you are the body of Christ. Not just one of the people who wants to become. You are the representation of a kingdom that knows no end. That should empower you. All right, that's Mark. We move on. Now, some of you may say, thank you. That's quite interesting, but where do I start? Good question. How do I start to make disciples, Doug? It's crazy. I can't even... We've just had a story of the Cadbury's, what they started here. Luke and John talk about conversations that took place after the resurrection. Matthew just is about teaching. He's about teaching. He's like, for one of the greatest sermons of Jesus, Sermon on the Mount, the longest teaching ever, it's in the book of Matthew, Sermon on the Mount. Okay? Now we see in Mark, he's talking about the fact that, you know what? God is saying, I can still reconcile you, even you who feels like you've betrayed me. Okay? Luke and John just focus on this aspect of conversations. So in Luke, we see them talking about the journey of Emmaus. When Jesus takes time on the resurrection day to spend hours, can you imagine? He just saved the world. Yet he has hours for these two guys who are just confused and puzzled and bewildered. Yes, he's not in the tomb. What can we do? Let's just walk back. Our time is done. They're so tired. They're so confused. They can't even see Christ in his fullness when he's next to them. Does it feel like that sometimes? You come to church and the worship is going on and you're just like, I don't feel anything. Jesus comes and becomes personal to each one of us who's sitting here and says, I've got time for you. Have you got questions? I've got time for you. I'm willing to answer, and hopefully in the process I can break bread with you and then you can recognize me. Don't stop asking. Then in John, we talk about the woman's story. The woman is at the tomb, grieving, crying, I need him. And they give us this personal thing of, as she was waiting, Jesus said, don't stop me, I'm on my way to the Father. I need to report that it's done. So I had to come and tell you, go, I'm going to meet all of you. It's kind of this thing of, on the day of resurrection, five people we read about who were met. One of them is Mary Magdalene, alone in the garden. Then the women, as they were told to go and tell the disciples. Then Peter alone, because some verses say he met with Peter before he met the rest of the disciples. Why? Some of us disqualify ourselves so quickly. My life is so bad, Doug. I can't serve God. Here at Rohith Pavilion, there's opportunities. That's one thing that I cannot get over. There is a lot of opportunities for you to just live with people, and they will see you and ask questions. We're not here to give answers. This is wrong. This is wrong. No, no, no. We're here to make disciples, not to just preach to someone. We're here to live with people, walk with them, and they will see Christ. Peter walked with Jesus for 3 years and still denied and betrayed. That's why God is saying, it's not about you to just make them perfect. It's you to be present as stuff is happening. If we really, really love what's going on here, God is going to use it. Anyway, so stories are being told, and God is asking you, what's your story? For the disciples, he told them, go back to Galilee where I first met you. Maybe the question for us is, when was the first time I had an encounter with God? Have I lost a bit of that calling? Is there something that God has ever told me? Why is God sending me here to Rohit Pavilion? Without a vision, it will perish. We all have been called to do something. We're part of something bigger than ourselves. That should fill us with excitement rather than, oh my goodness, too big. No. He's here. I remember Elijah could have heard the voice of God clearly in an earthquake, but the Bible says it was the whisper. One of the last things God says to Elijah in the cave of despair, what are you doing here? The question is, why am I even here? Why has God preserved my life for today? This is exciting stuff. The Great Commission should be a journey of excitement, not a journey of, more work, making disciples. No, it's God is saying, he told the disciples, peace be upon you, they're afraid, peace be upon you. And then the Bible says, he breathed his spirit upon them, and then he told them, now you have power to forgive sins. Look at the authority he's giving them. So in the Lord's Prayer, we pray, forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. No, we should be a community that keep no grudges. That's the first way of making disciples. Someone has wronged me. I forgive you. That's Jesus. That's the Holy Spirit. Because we love to keep a grudge, even between couples. Yeah, we've not been talking for days. I'll wait for him to return. You know, we keep this all the time. Even within churches, yeah, but I wanted them to do this and the rooms. And we like to keep petty stuff. And the enemy is happy to keep us busy. Bible says, I set a table before your enemies. I anoint your head with oil. Your cup overflows. He doesn't say, when I anoint you, I ask you, are you full? No, he says, I anoint you and you overflow. The Spirit of God in you is overflowing, whether you want it or not. It's not based on your feelings. Your enemies are around you and they're going to be clearer as day. But the Spirit is saying, I am anointing you, each one of you. So we read about them being told, peace be upon you. He filled them with the Holy Spirit. And then he said, go and forgive people. Forgive people their sins. Exciting. This is the God we serve. Who, even when I don't feel like it, yet I know that I've met him and sent him. Some of them, when they're waiting for him, when he appeared, the Bible says, it's a ghost. They thought he was a ghost. They didn't quite comprehend what was going on. And it's okay for you to have questions. But God is saying, I have sent you here. You are here now. Don't wait till you're in the grave to start talking about me. Don't wait till everything is ticked. Because it's not going to be ticked in this life. The only thing you need is to get my command. Go and make disciples of all nations. I want to finish with just a reflection. You may have heard what I've said and you're thinking, yeah, I still don't have the conversation to start. I've been to some of you, to your houses, and had stories of your life. That's God's story. Just going to sit in some of your houses and hearing a bit of your journeys, that is part of God's story. That story can be used in this community to further the kingdom of God, which you and I are a part of. If you're here and you think, I'm actually not yet there, I've not been baptized yet, the Bible says actually, go and baptize, okay? So if you're here and you've not been baptized, I want to just encourage you to join. It's not dependent on how good you are, but on how good he has been. So if you're here and we have a baptism, come and have fun. Because we want you to feel part of something bigger than each individual in this place. The Holy Spirit is here at Rohit Pavilion. I'm working with Jan to help with the after-school club. She came and told me last week, Doug, I was so timid when I started working with you, but I think I'm learning. And that pointed to me that Jan didn't come to work with me because she was good at youth work. The Bible says when the women came to anoint Jesus' body, they said, we even can't roll the stone away. They didn't go because they're like, yeah, we're the women of the day. We can roll the stone away. We can. They didn't know they would get in. So don't start with, I'm good at this, so I should do it. Obedience is better than sacrifice. Just saying, God, I'm willing. I'm going to be present. Just so she came and told me, I'm just here. And now as I'm with you, I'm learning. And making disciples about walking with those who need Christ. Or walking alongside those who've met Christ. It's a journey of walking with others. We can walk together in this place and see the community transformed as each one of us seeks out who to disciple or who to be discipled by. It's not just a Sunday morning thing. A time has come when the Spirit of God won't just be here on a Sunday morning, but here every moment of the day, seeking every opportunity to make a difference, to make His kingdom known. So I've not gone through my slide, which is all right, but I'm going to conclude with this. Okay. Rohith Pavilion. Bible says that now that you all know we are all candidates. Hallelujah. This is exciting. Can you imagine if we actually responded? Can you imagine if we actually genuinely responded? We would struggle to get more stuff for you guys to do because you would be here present. Now, forgive me when I say Rohith Pavilion because some of you have got wider. You go far in your workplaces, in your homes. That's okay. Don't feel guilty about it because Jesus meets with you individually. And I hope if you're struggling with that, we could pray into that. The leaders can pray about discerning what is it that I could do, both here where I'm present or when I'm doing campaigns. Whatever I'm doing, it's all part of the kingdom. It's great. And then he says this to them who are scared, all authority has been given to me. Okay? There's no greater power. There's a lot of people, Reiki, New Age. Don't be scared. Don't be scared. You've got power. You've got each one of you. There's a story in the Old Testament about Elisha dying. And then one day they were taking a dead body and it fell on Elisha's bones. He was already dead. And the Bible says the dead body came back to life. It was Elisha's bones. You are more than bones. You can breathe, you can talk. If you're here and you know Christ, the Bible says that you have the authority to go and make disciples. You may need training, but that is something that the Holy Spirit does in the process. Okay, then it says, make disciples of all nations. And I could change that and say of all caliber of people who have different interests, footballers, rugby players, those who don't like church, those who like Glastonbury, whatever it is, those who are politicians from all a part of this process. So go. You got friends who don't like church? Yeah, that's another nation. Go there. Teaching them to be everything. Oh my goodness. That I've commanded you. We don't talk about teaching a lot. There is a college here that we don't even know it's here. God has blessed this church with resources that we could tap into, but I don't know. So maybe teaching, if you're here and don't read the Word of God, this is a challenge. How can you teach what you don't reflect upon? So maybe because you're going, prepare yourself. Spend some time in the Word if you can. If you're struggling to find people to spend time in the Word with, come and speak to the leaders. We can sort something out. And finally, He will always be with you. In the prison, in the hospital, when you're having a wedding of someone you kind of struggle to connect with, or whether you are somewhere else tired because the sun is too strong, God is saying, I will always be with you. Thank you for listening. I'm just going to pray, and I'll invite. Is it? Brilliant. Brilliant. Yes, okay. God, we thank you so much that you're present here. The devil tries to disqualify us because of our temperament sometimes. Maybe we shout. But God, we thank you that you have qualified us to make disciples. Forgive us for where we have looked at each other in a worldly sense and forgotten the story that is being told about you and that we're part of that. God, as we live here to do whatever we do, will you open up our eyes to make the difference and to be the difference? as we transform lives with your Holy Spirit here in Rohit Pavilion. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you.